Well, I guess it's just time to do this. It's the news. Courtney. Good Thursday morning, the day before, otherwise known as, I think it's on your calendar actually, listed as the day before the live show. Thursday is otherwise known as the day before the live show. We have, which tomorrow will be the live show, which is, that's why this is the day before. This is the day before Friday morning. Good morning, folks. It is March 9th, 7:11 a.m. Yes, almost 7:12 a.m. in the morning, early for me, Eastern Standard Time. And I am putting together this little show for you that I appreciate you tuning into. We have a lot to get into. Yesterday, we talked mostly about the January 6th stuff that was the Tucker Carlson storm that is apparently just rocking the nation right now because he released, you know, 5 minutes of footage that, you know, well, he's rewriting the narrative. We'll get into all that stuff because one of the other things we need to get into is my cup. We need to get into my cup. I am loaded this morning. I'm not loaded, not in a sense that. I know what you're thinking. I have a lot of ammo here this morning. I have three cups. Well, I have two cups and a thermos. I have a cup full of chai. Full of chai. I haven't even taken a sip yet. With creamer in it. I just ran down here right away. As soon as I got my chai made, I just ran down here. Let the cat out of the studio area here. I'm at the home studio this morning. Wouldn't have been this early if I would have been. Tomorrow morning, I might actually do the show from the headquarters tomorrow. It will, because I can do it a little bit later. I have a few things I need to do today. It's going to be a very busy day for me. In fact, I've got an appointment at 9 o'clock that I've got to get out here. Got to get everything done before 9 o'clock. It's one of the reasons I'm up early. But the other reason I'm up early is because my wife left early this morning. I have a tendency to not get up because I just get in her way when she's busy running around trying to get off to work. You've heard the old joke. I'm a real go-getter. In the morning, I take my wife to work, and in the evening, I go get her. She's a hard worker. She works every day. She's off to work now. She's supposed to come home early today, I think. Not positive about that. Maybe. I don't know. Had some early morning meetings. She's a big shot. Big wig. At a health system. Up there in the administrative world. She kind of turned down they offered her a bigger shot position, higher up deal. She was kind of moving her way up that way, and it just wasn't worth it. It's one of those deals where, you know, they keep asking you to do more and they don't pay you anymore. Well, by the way, we'll give you a $5 an hour raise. We're going to ask you to do twice as much. You're going to do two jobs now. We just lost this other person, so you're going to take over their responsibilities as well. And we're going to give you a little raise here. Look at this. You're going to make $50 an hour or $50 a week more. Look there. There you go. Ooh, boy. Ooh, isn't that nice? Look at all that money you got. Oh, by the way, that puts you in an additional higher tax bracket, so we're going to take more out of your check now. Sorry. Oops. You were taking home $2,000 a week. Oh, guess now you're taking home $1,800 a week. But you're doing more. So you got, but you can put that on a resume. It's on your resume now. Think of the character it's going to build now for you. Yeah, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I said, they said, hey, what's in your cup? And I said, hey, this is chai with vanilla creamer. And then they said, what's in your other cup over there? I said, well, that's V8 Fusion Peach Mango. Yeah, it's good stuff. What's in your thermos? I said, well, I got sweet tea in there. I got it all here this morning. I've got the good stuff and the bad stuff. You know, if I just had water, it'd probably be the best stuff, I guess. But I thought about that this morning. I was going to bring down some water, and then I saw this other stuff sitting there. And I was like, you know, this all needs to be drank. Somebody needs to drink this stuff, and it's only going to be me. I'm the only one that's going to drink this stuff. No, I was talking to somebody the other day. It was interesting. I've heard there's these several rather large companies now that have been doing this. And they have these rags-to-riches stories where this guy was, you know, he was this low guy on the totem pole. I guess that's a microaggression, totem pole. Because for some reason, a totem pole is a microaggression. I don't know. I said something the other day about somebody being they're like a head honcho of something. And this guy said, you know, that would be considered a microaggression. I was like, really? Because honcho is a bad word? Is it? Honcho is like head of something and within a Native American tribe. Or I guess it's actually a Mexican tribe. Call them a honcho. Well, let's look it up. Let's just look it up here. I got the World Wide Web here. Let's see what honcho means. What is a honcho? Honcho definition meaning, here we go. I got the thing right here. I spelled it wrong, but boss, big shot, hot shot sense one. A relic of the large U.S. presence in Japan in the years following World War II. This is actually a Japanese word. The word honcho comes from the Japanese word honcho, meaning leader of the squad. We are uncertain of the exact route by which honcho found its way into the American military in the mid-1950s, though it is known that the Japanese applied honcho to British and Australian officers in charge of work parties in prisoner of war camps by the 1960s. So actually, it's a derogatory term towards U.S. British soldiers. The word had become part of colloquial American jargon. I assumed it was a Mexican slur, a Spanish, something in Spanish. Interesting. That's very interesting. Yes. Japanese honcho squad leader. So it's Japanese slur. So this guy took it. I think he's South American. He was standing next to me when I said something about this guy. He's one of the head honchos here. He said, oh yeah, was he to wear a sombrero and stuff? I was like, oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's funny. I see what you did there. He goes, yeah, you know, we took all this stuff about from HR about, you know, microaggressions. I think that was a microaggression. I was like, good. That's good for you. I'm glad that's, I actually said that because he was joking. And it was one of those things where, you know, it was, I'm sure HR would have had a fit with it, but it was one of those things where, and maybe honcho means something in Spanish or in Mexico. The problem, or South America, the problem with it is they have now brought it into their lexicon from Japan, apparently, because there's nothing about this being anything about Spanish anywhere. Or Mexican. So it's interesting. I learned something today. Right here with you. We do it together. We just learned something. Well, maybe you already knew it. I assumed that honcho was that. But, you know, it was in the lexicon, so it apparently spilled over into other countries as well, probably. That's my guess. That's what happened there. They just figured it was them. It does sound like a Mexican word. It does sound like a Spanish word, sort of. Mexicanish. You have to realize Spanish from Spain. When you hear somebody speak in Spain, Spanish in Spain, Espanol, it is a different dialect than what you have in Mexico. It is almost a different language. It's like trying to go down to some places in Alabama and trying to understand what people are saying in English. It's more than an accent. It's actually a dialect itself. There's even places in Mexico where you can go, they speak the same language, but they cannot understand it. They can hardly understand each other. This is kind of like Pennsylvania Dutch. This is the Amish speak German, but it is so mixed in the way it is so blended with some English words. And they've changed the pronunciation of some of the, because, you know, they've been away from Germany for so long. That you can understand each other. They can understand each other and they can speak to each other, but they have words that they don't even know what they are. And they can piece it together. I can understand enough Pennsylvania Dutch that that I can understand the language. I can understand what they're saying. I can usually pick out what they're talking about, and usually they're talking about me. Because, you know, they'll be going, Kevin, Kevin, then they laugh. I'm pretty sure they're talking about me. They're pointing at me and laughing. Saying something about Dunkoff. I don't know. It's something to that effect. Pretty sure. We have, back to this whole thing. I don't know what I was talking about. This honcho thing. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I reminded myself. I'm my own director. I have to, once in a while, have to look at myself in the mirror and say, yeah, thank you for reminding me, sir. I said, I just got several mirrors around here. One of them says manager. The other one says producer, director. I just look up at all the mirrors, whichever position I need to be in at the moment. One man show here, folks. That's what you get. You get what you pay for. All you're paying with is your hour of time that you probably could get, you know, $50 an hour someplace like a McDonald's if you were spending it doing there. But you're spending it here with me. I'd appreciate that because you're getting nothing else to do, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe you're doing something else while you're... This is the first sip I've taken of my chai this morning. I just realized that was pretty good. It's all warm all the way down there. A little bit frosty out here this morning. We got here in Indiana, northern Indiana. We have a weather forecast. I'll give you the weather here in northern Indiana. Right now we have 30 degrees outside, high of 44 today. Mostly sunny or mostly cloudy all day long. The sun is supposed to set about 6:43. We do that. We are under a winter weather advisory, by the way, for those of you who are in northern Indiana. At about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight, it's supposed to start snowing, and it's supposed to snow all night. Looks like that's great until tomorrow morning. Looks like all the way through tomorrow, mostly into tomorrow morning. Yeah, that's great. High of 44 today, high of 35 tomorrow, high of 36 on Saturday and 37 on Sunday. So it's going to be above freezing during the days, but it's going to be freezing at night. So we'll see how this goes for tomorrow morning. I might have to do the live show from the home studio here if it's all blustery outside. I might not feel like going outside. Not that I can't. I got plenty of vehicles that can make it through the weather. That's not the problem. I think almost every vehicle I have is four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, and except for with the exception of one. Pretty sure. Of the five vehicles I have, actually six, if you count the motorhome, four of them are all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. The motorhome's not, by the way. So I guess two of them wouldn't be. I thought the one was when I purchased it because I thought all those models were all-wheel drive, and they're not. I'm looking at a Volvo S80 V8 right now. I'm really seriously considering this thing. It's all-wheel drive. It's got a low mileage on it. It's a rare car. The Volvo V8 S80 is a very rare bird. And the price is right. And I'm just seriously thinking about buying this thing. It's a rather old car. It's almost 15 years old, 16 years old. But man, it's a good car. That is a really good car. And with that low a mileage on it, the problem is I have to go halfway across the country to get it, which is not a problem. It just takes time. I'm seriously thinking about it. The guy, I might just make the guy an offer. And if he takes it, I might just take him up on it. I might just do it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Because I need another vehicle. Like I need several other holes in my head. Let's get into the show, folks. I actually wrote down notes today. I have notes written on a piece of paper. You know how rare this is for me? I wanted to make sure I didn't lose these. And I wanted to make sure they, because there's this notepad thing I have on my iPad that, it's supposed to transfer to my computer automatically. It's supposed to sync with all my devices. Well, it doesn't always work. And for some reason, I have to upgrade the operating system on my computer now to make this thing work with this, which is stupid. Because what gets me about this is I can go to my regular notes on my I have Apple products. My Apple Notes program syncs perfectly with all my other devices, regardless of what operating system I have on it. Well, I don't know about, maybe they're really old ones that it won't do. I don't know. I wonder what I'm even running on this thing. Let's find out. about this Mac here. We have, where'd it go? You'd think it would just pop up, but it didn't. There it is. I'm running Catalina on this thing. I don't know how old that is. Apparently, it's version 10.15.7. Well, from what I remember, the last time I tried to upgrade this thing, this is a 2013 Mac. I thought it was newer than that. I'm going to get another one because I need to put, when I get my studio done in here, at the home studio, the good sound booth, I need to put a different computer in there. And I'm looking at getting something a little newer. What I might do is get the newer one and put this one in the box. I don't really need anything that fancy, but hopefully this thing can upgrade to a different system. I'm not going to do it right now because it usually takes several hours for the thing to upgrade the operating system. I'm just going to wait on that. So we have, anyway, back to my notes. I got a show for you here today. The world is in disarray right now, the leftist world, because of a few minutes of video that Tucker Carlson showed. They are, crapping their pants right now, in my opinion. I have never seen this kind of hysterical reaction. You want to talk about, I mean, next to Trump winning the presidency. This is, they're out of their minds. They are concerned about some things. And now, Kevin McCarthy dropped a bombshell yesterday when he was being asked about this. And it was yesterday or day before. Being asked about this whole thing about giving this information to Tucker Carlson. It is, oh my word, big news here, folks, that nobody knew before, that CNN has not responded to, but it is off the charts, in your face. This is why we gave it to Tucker Carlson and not CNN kind of stuff. And it is huge. This is the kind of stuff that needs to be investigated. Who did this? You talk about somebody needing to be punished for security breaches. They need to be all over this, in my opinion. Because this is huge. I think if the American people understood they're not going to let this out. In fact, this is not being broadcast anywhere else. It's not the CNN's not certainly not putting on. I think that McCarthy, in fact, they edited it out. They were talking to Carlson. They were talking to McCarthy and asking about the Carlson issue, and they edited this part out. So here's the reason that Tucker Carlson has been given. Now there's other things I want to talk about this morning. There's some other things that are actually unrelated to anything about January 6th, but there's. And some pretty serious stuff is going down the tubes, and it's actually. Probably going to be, I would say it's going to happen eventually. We're very, I think, blessed right now that they did not get, they were not able to maintain the House and the Senate. If they had maintained the House and gained in the Senate, we would be absolutely screwed right now as a country. Because this last 2 years of Biden's presidency, they would absolutely ram through an agenda that I am shocked even that Biden stood in the way of doing this one thing. I'm absolutely shocked at it. I'm beside myself. But it is because he's an establishment individual. He's not necessarily totally sold out to the radical mob. Now, so here's the deal. We have Kevin McCarthy coming out and saying, well, we gave CNN some information prior to this, and they disclosed where the senators would be, the safe room that they would be shuffled off into if there was an event, an attack or a storm or a weather event or whatever it is, any kind of shelter that they need to go to, the Capitol Police shuffle them off to an undisclosed location where they can't, nobody can know where they're being shipped off to, because that's a security breach. Because, you know, if they're all destroyed, the country stops. That's what they think. Talk about the big lie. That's our government. That's our democracy. No, you are not our democracy. We are the democracy. Look up the meaning of the word democracy. It's the people. You're not the people. You represent the people. That's all you are, is a representative. All you are is a representative. You're not lording over us. You're not our masters. But you like to think you are. And that's what's disgusting and despicable about the I'm going to get this. Okay, I'm getting all worked up. Sorry. I need some chai. Here we go. I'm so close to cussing, and I'm not even sure I remember how to. I'd probably do it wrong. You know what though? If I went out in the garage and hit my thumb with a hammer, I bet I could remember how really well. I bet something would come fly out of my mouth that I didn't even realize I knew. Let's not try it though. Okay, let's not go there. It's an experiment in on paper only. My thumbs, thank you. I'm sure something will happen. I won't have to, it won't be a deliberate act. I just guarantee it's going to happen, but it won't be deliberate. I'll let you know how it goes when it happens. So we had Kevin McCarthy come out and explain that they gave information to CNN at one point, and CNN disclosed it. They let it go. They had to change where they kept the senators. Where the Congress people would go, because CNN blew their security. It's kind of like, we gave you a chance and you screwed it up. The terms that are being used right now, and this is they're rewriting the narrative. I wrote down a few quotes of things that everybody keeps saying, all the broadcasters keep saying. You're going to hear this every time you hear the CNN, and even some people on the right. They're trying to rewrite the narrative. They're rewriting the narrative. Well, the question is, who wrote the narrative to begin with? There's two statements I'd like to make about this. Who wrote the initial narrative? Apparently, the narrative was there before. And why is there a narrative? Because the American people don't want a narrative. They want a truth. They want the truth. All they want to see is what actually happened. And we'll make our own decision. We'll make our own narrative. We'll narrate for you. We don't need a narrator. We just need the truth. Just the facts. We'll make our own decisions on what happened. When you imply all the intent and everything else that goes on, even when they talk about what happens with Tucker, well, Tucker cherry-picked. In fact, the guy who asked Karine Jean-Pierre the question, how do you feel about Tucker Carlson cherry-picking all the information, all the video, and creating a video that, you know, that was laced with innuendo and pointed statements in the question? It was a directed question. In fact, I would imagine that KJP, the rap artist, knew this was coming. And she still muddled it up. When I see her talk, all I see is a 7-year-old kid trying to explain why they ate the chocolate cake that they weren't supposed to touch. That's the nodding of the head, the sticking out of the chin, the batting of the eyes, looking down, trying to face you, but I'm looking down and my eyelids are closed, nodding my head with this believe me look. That's a 12-year-old trying to explain their way out of something they know that they did wrong, or making up a story to excuse something that they know is wrong. It's so obvious. There's two things happening there. One is she's way out of her league. She has no business being in that position. Jen Psaki, she would lie a lot, and she would say And Karine does this incessantly as well. Repeats herself. The president has said, this goes on and on and on. There are times when a person gets a little bit tongue-tied or stammers because they're thinking of, they're formulating the statement before, like just like I'm doing right now. But it's gushing out in a genuine way. Because they're kind of tripping over their own words, trying to get the statement out efficiently and effectively. That's one thing. But it doesn't happen all the time. I can sit here and talk for several minutes and make several statements without stumbling over myself. I'm not sure she can speak an entire sentence without using an or an an entire sentence. I don't think she can. Jen Psaki was almost as bad. Now, she was a better communicator than the rap artist known as KJP. But we have, it's so pathetic. It is so pathetic. They don't realize, and subconsciously, people see someone talk like that, and it makes them uneasy. And they don't know why it makes them uneasy, but they just know that there's something kind of shady about what this person's saying. They don't understand the body language. They haven't actually delved into the actual awareness of what that person's saying or how they're saying it. Now, somebody like Pete Buttigieg is dangerous because he can make stuff. He's pretty smart. I'm not saying he's wise. I'm saying he's smart. He's very good on his toes at making up these little statements that feel good. When he was running for president, we had some broadcasters on the left who's, oh, this guy is chicken soup for my soul. It makes them feel good. Right now, we don't need somebody making us feel good. We need somebody telling us the truth. And you know what? The truth right now is not going to make us feel good. Because this country is headed off a cliff. And all I'm saying is buckle up, buckwheat. Old day, Panky. But we're about ready to head off the edge. I mean, it is... Yeah. So they're going after Tucker right now, attacking him on every side. Now I don't know what Tucker's facing from administration at Fox. I have no idea. I know that there are not many other broadcasters. I think some of the broadcasters, I think Sean Hannity actually probably has got to be groveling right now. Why did Tucker get this? I'm the biggest thing on Fox News. No, you're not, Sean. Tucker has the largest audience right now of any evening news show, anybody. And there's a reason for that. And the left hates this. Millions of people tune in to see this guy. He's lying to millions of people. The reason there's millions of people, maybe you should ask yourself why millions of people listen to this guy. Is because he's shooting straight with us, as far as we know. Now, they're making a huge deal. MSNBC every day. I don't know who it is. I haven't even clicked on any of the bait that they got. They're being putting out. Oh, behind the scenes, they're admitting the fact that they lied, that they knew they were lying. They're twisting the statements. What happened was they came out and they were talking about the election fraud and they were talking about election issues. And I think Sidney Powell and some of these other people that they were interviewing and saying, oh, this isn't true. You know, behind the scenes, they were texting each other, I guess, and saying some things about, you know, we know this. We don't have any evidence of this. All they said was, we don't have any evidence for this. Oh, see, they knew they were lying. No, that's what they're getting at. Now, recently, Russell Brand was on, I believe it was on some kind of panel. I'm not sure. It was on MSNBC or something. He talked circles around this guy. You talk about a master of communication. Russell Brand is a brilliant man. He's very smart, good communicator. And I have now he's got a strange spirituality side to him, and I don't know that he I wouldn't call him a Christian. I think he is more empathetic or leans a little bit more towards the Christian values. But I think he would be considered more of a shamanistic kind of religion, kind of, you know, God is this energy ball, centering yourself, being one with the universe stuff. I think that's where he falls in that. I'm not sure who he would define who his God is. Kind of like Oprah Winfrey. Oh, she believes in God, but she, no, there's the God within you. That's, you're getting creepy on me now. You know, that's just weird. I can't go down that road. I know. But you get a new car and you get a new car. Oh, hey, everybody gets a new car. Everybody loves me now. So we have Tucker's just under the attack. And now one of the statements that Schumer made yesterday or a couple days ago was that this was such a shameful act that's never been seen on cable news. I've never seen anything like this on cable news. Well, apparently you've never watched Keith Olbermann. Apparently you've never watched Rachel Maddow. I can list a whole slew of people over the last 5 years, especially night after night after night, making statements that were patently false, proven false, and they're still doubling. Speaking of false, they're still doubling down on a lot of this stuff. They're still talking about Officer Sicknick. I can't imagine how his family feels. Well, why don't you go ask how his family feels? Maybe they're actually happy about the fact that the truth is finally coming out about how it, because I tell you what, I would be really mad if I was one of his family members right now. Because they have used him. Now, maybe they're on the other side of the political spectrum and maybe I could be totally wrong. All I can tell you is the integrity in my family and in my life, if that was my brother that they used, I would be livid. I don't know if I'd be publicly upset about it. I don't know that I want that. I don't need that kind of drama. I probably would be. The rest of my family would probably not be happy with me, but I would be livid. One of the statements that they're making is he's rewriting the narrative. We already wrote the narrative. How dare you rewrite it? That's what they're saying. Tucker Carlson has an opinion based on the facts that he has seen. In this country, it is still perfectly fine to have. Let's have the debate. So the video that Tucker Carlson showed, tell me, Mr. Schumer, tell me all these individuals who are blasting him for showing this stuff and rewriting the narrative. Explain to me exactly what he did to rewrite the narrative. What is he showing us that's changing, that's straying away from the truth? But we saw the video from the January 6th committee put together. It's obviously a violent insurrection. Okay, Robert DeVeo. He is an extremely good lawyer. I don't know how he is as a lawyer. He has an extremely good video podcast called Watching the Watchers every night. It's just, but if you look at Robert Gouveia is actually the name of his channel, but he's part of the Watching. Now, if you look up Watching the Watchers, it actually goes to another, I don't know what that is. If you go to watchingthewatchers.com, that's not where you want to go. You want to go to Robert Gouveia on YouTube, and then his links in below will tell you where you need to go to find his information. You can be part of his whole thing. But he was a part of a law group out in Arizona. He was a defense attorney, and he put together some extremely good numbers. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, my understanding is he has gone full time into the YouTube thing. He has left the law group now. It's still the R&R law group, but it has become huge because of him, because of what he does on YouTube. And he has gotten, his show has, since he has left there, he's devoted more time to his YouTube channel. And I tell you what, I'm going to become a member because I think it's like $50 a year. His content is top shelf and he's getting better at it. And now he's putting together the numbers and showing you things about. Did you know the DOJ, the committee that's or this Defense Department, whatever there is, these prosecutors that are going after these January 6th perps. They asked for $37 billion. $37 billion. How much damage was done to the Capitol, by the way? How many people were hurt? How many people, these insurrectionists, as they call them, how many of them were injured? $37 billion for the investigation. For the investigation and prosecution of about 180 people. Is this really worth our dollars? Really? Seriously? For trespassing. Which is essentially that's what they're being charged with. Robert Gouveia breaks down the numbers on this thing, and it is pathetic. They also wanted another additional, I don't know how many, it was a whole bunch of prosecutors that they wanted to bring on board. A prosecutor's normally, on average, handle about 90 cases per year. They're going to have so many prosecutors, and we don't know exactly what the numbers are right now, but even with just what they're hiring, what we assume they had before, the number of prosecutors, the cases that these prosecutors will be handling are about 1.2 per year. So basically 1-to-1 ratio from prosecutor to the prosecuted per perp. It is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Because of the narrative that they're blasting us with is that this was a violent insurrection. No one, still, they did try to charge somebody with insurrection, but that charge got dropped. There was someone who committed conspiracy to commit an insurrection. When you hear somebody like Liz Cheney saying it was an armed insurrection, you know what they were armed with? Did you realize when you're carrying a water bottle, you're carrying a weapon? Because they were throwing water bottles and they had flagpoles. So if you're walking around with an American flag, you have a weapon. You are armed. It's an armed insurrection. No one who went into the Capitol that day had a gun on them. Nobody. Not a single person. The only person who was shot was Ashley Babbitt. She was unarmed. On the other side of a wall. The other side of a window. Shot and killed. If somebody's on the other side of a window at my house and I shoot through the window and kill them, I'm in pretty grave. That's a pretty serious. You better have been pretty threatened by that. Whatever was coming through the window. To just walk up. You notice nobody else had their guns drawn. There were people there who had guns. Nobody else had their guns drawn, because drawing your gun means I'm in threat of my life. I'm fearing for my life right now. I need to protect whatever's. This guy just walks up and shoots. Now this is going to. I think this is going to be one of the biggest things that probably Tucker brings out. He's got to be very careful with what he does. He's being very careful security-wise. He needs to be very careful with all this stuff because he doesn't want to jeopardize any of that. Now, my understanding, he's got to basically show the video, sign all kinds of disclosures. It's a big process here. Some people are estimating that he possibly has backed off, or that Rupert Murdoch or maybe people at Fox have told him to back off or forced him to back off because of all the flack that they were getting. I think part of the issue now is that they're going to slow ride this thing in terms of giving him approval on some of the things he's doing. Now, this is only because they don't like it. Because he's rewriting the narrative. But I think Kevin McCarthy hit it square on the head. I think he gave it to the right person, first of all. Now, I would hope, as far as I'm concerned, I think they should give the whole thing to everybody. They should just make it public. Security, no security, whatever. Deal with it. They should at least give this stuff to the defense, those who are defending themselves, who are sitting in jail, who've been sitting in jail for over 2 years now, by the way, waiting trial. They're slow writing this for a reason. They're slow poking this for a very good reason. One of the reasons is because they can make it seem like a bigger deal. And two is they hope people will forget about actually what happened. Because they can continue this narrative and keep it drummed up that, oh, we were so scared that day. We were almost killed. I was within 30 feet of one of these insurrectionists who said, get him. First of all, I don't know. These are people who say that we're devoting our lives to the Congress. You're not willing to lay your life down, are you? First thing you do is turn tail and run when somebody comes in and wants to argue with you. You know, I remind you, this has happened before, by the way. People have busted into and overridden they have allowed it to happen when there were protesters that they wanted to have come in and protest and shut things down. And those people got arrested. None of them. Not a single one. Nobody's been charged with insurrection. Nobody's been charged with anything much more, really, than there's been a few violent acts, violent charges. Now, you have to realize a lot of these charges are way higher than what they deserve. And Elon Musk has weighed in on this. They're giving these people trumped up charges, hoping for a plea deal so that they can hang some people on this stuff. And the reason they need to have it done this way, because that way they can make it out to, oh, we got this guy charged for this and this guy's charged for that. You got people coming out like Chris Wallace saying, well, why would somebody like Chris Wallace and Michael Flynn? This is a perfect example. Michael Flynn pled guilty to a lesser charge. The FBI tried to get him lying to the FBI agents, and he didn't know he's under investigation. Got him a process crime, basically. Chris Wallace came out and said, well, he admitted to it. He admitted to it. He, I would never do that. Oh, yes, you would. I guarantee you. Your family starts being threatened. This is mob tactics. This is mafia stuff. You come out and they threaten you and your family and everything else, your livelihood. We're charging you with this. And maybe Chris Wallace has enough money to pay his lawyers enough money to get off on something like that. You're not going to do it with a public defender. Michael Flynn didn't have a whole lot of money. Don't get me wrong. He's not hurting. He might be now. This is what they do. They run you into this legal system, and they just destroy and decimate everything you have. This is why some people don't go to legal. They defend themselves in court. And you have some rights, by the way, by defending yourself in court. That you don't have otherwise when you give up to legal counsel. Legal counsel can really mess you over if you accept outside source legal counsel. If you don't get a good defense attorney, it can be life or death for some people. It can be meaning the rest of your life being really living a tough life or getting along fine. And I mean back to normal, which is still a tough life, but it's a different kind of tough. Now they're calling, there's a couple other terms that they've got out here. I have to look at my notes here because the insurrection deniers now, that's what we're starting here. Now this is kind of like the big lie deniers. It's all being thrown into the same bucket now. Insurrection deniers, the big lie, it's the big lie. They're touting and promoting the big lie. Now, I learned a little something interesting yesterday. The big lie was actually a term that was used by the Nazis when they were going after the Jews. They talked about, no, that's the big lie. The Nazis used that term. Now, I'm not saying that the Democrats are Nazis. I'm just saying they're using the same terminology. Where's Nancy? They're the ones who started this business. Where's Nancy? Oh, she's talking to somebody about the big lie. So we have, there's that. It's all being lumped into the same bunch. And it's, of course, the word conspiracy theory then comes out. And the QAnon and all the stuff that happens. Meanwhile, in Atlanta, almost 200 people overrun an attack and start to destroy a police training center that's being constructed. And the president doesn't even know anything about it. Well, that's not an attack on our democracy. They're just going after those evil police. Because it was a racist facility. It was near a black neighborhood. I guess what? Everything in Atlanta is near a black neighborhood. Most of the police in Atlanta are black. At least in the areas I was in. I don't think I ever saw a white police officer in the area I was in when I was down there. I used to spend a lot of time there. Come to think of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. So that's what's upsetting to me. That's okay. So what? Fine. Why should that be a thing? Why should it be an issue? The vast majority of the people I ran into treated me very fairly, very nice. We were cordial. Got along just fine. Once in a while, I'd be walking down the sidewalk and somebody would be walking back the other direction. And I could tell, that guy hates me because of the color of my skin. It was very obvious. I've done nothing to him. Oh, but you don't know how he's been treated, what he's been through. No, I know how he's been indoctrinated. Probably by people who were indoctrinated, by people who were white leftist liberal wackos that keep perpetuating this race-baiting idea and this culture of hatred towards white people. Oh, it's not racism, because black people can't be racist, but they can hate white people. Hate can still reside in your heart for another individual. And it's not justified, folks. It's not justified. Don't sit there and tell me, well, I'm supposed to hate you because what your people did to me, to my people. All right. Well, if you want to choose to live in that world, go ahead. That's fine. You want to live there. I know plenty of people who are not living in that world. They're moving on with their lives. They have no animosity or anger or hatred towards people of other skin colors. And they seem to be enjoying their life. You know, there's been people who have done me wrong. Both white people and black people have done me wrong. They're people. They're selfish. I'm sure I've done some people wrong. I'm positive of it. I've been irresponsible. We're people. We live in a mess, a messy world. Let's just help each other. Try to clean up the mess the best we can. And move forward. Not get too obsessed with a mess. Because it will never be clean enough. But we can be productive and move forward. And do our best to agree to disagree or whatever we have to do to move forward. We all want to see everybody taken care of. So this vast, I guess a bunch of them were Antifa folks is what they were. And the vast majority of them were white down there in Atlanta. And they go in and they do this. And the White House knows nothing about it. Where's the DOJ on this one? Are they going to ask for was this an insurrection? What is this? $37 billion they want. Where's all that money going? You know, even if they can just funnel off $1 billion, a billion of that, and they trim $1 billion of that out of their what they need to fund 100 whatever it is, it's like how many hundreds of millions of dollars that divide into for per prosecutor? Really? Are you launching satellites with this stuff? I got to launch some satellites to find these people that can't. That's ridiculous. In the midst of all this, while all this is going on, there's this crime bill that goes through Congress. And this crime bill has to do with carjackings or something, I guess. It has something to do with, they're supposed to make carjacking a misdemeanor. You realize how dangerous carjackings are? You know how many people are killed every year in carjackings? How many children are left in the cars after they'll force someone out of a car and they have their child in the back seat? You know how often that happens? It happens a lot. A lot more than child shootings, people, kids being shot with guns. But they would have you believe that that's the number one cause of children dying. Child deaths in the U.S. is gunshots. Which is, it's such, oh my gosh. Don't even get me started. So ridiculous. They want to make it a misdemeanor in D.C. Now, D.C. is not a state for a reason. The founders knew this. They needed to put it in a district, not a state. There's a reason for it, and they had a very good reason for it. But now they want to make D.C. a state. Now, you know what that does. You know what that gives them, right? There's less than a million people there, by the way, that are residents in D.C. D.C. proper. Why don't they just say, well, we'll just make us a part of Virginia? No, see, they want to be their own state so they can have their own governor. Here's the biggie. They get two senators. And guess what they will be? It is a predominantly leftist, very leftist district. So they're going to be Democrats. My understanding is they will get three representatives, which I'm kind of surprised because I didn't think they were big enough for three. I thought they'd get two, but I think they'd get three representatives, congressional representatives. And they get, guess what else they get? Electoral delegates. Now, all these are going to be Democrats. You're not going to have a Republican in D.C., in any of those offices. D.C. is basically a town. It's a city. They want to become a state. The reason they don't like it is because anything that they try to propose in the city council goes to the mayor, and they all want, okay, we want to make, and this is the way they get rid of crime. This is the left's method for dropping the crime rate. What they do is they redefine what a crime is. So they want to make carjacking a misdemeanor. They're going to say, well, we only had, 27,000 misdemeanors last year. So violent crime has gone down. Serious crime has gone down. No, you just changed it's gone up, but you just changed what violent crime is. This is what they do. These big cities where shoplifting was a problem, you know what they did? Well, you can shoplift up to $400 worth of stuff, and we're not going to charge you. This is why. Stores are moving out of place, different areas. Portland, Oregon, I think almost all the Walmarts are moving out of Portland, Oregon. Because I think you can shoplift up to $900, is it there? It's either $400 or $900. You can shoplift and not be charged. They can catch you for doing it. I'm not going to charge you. You can walk out with a television every day. That's unsustainable for a business. Can't do that. I had heard a good point. This one guy was, I think it was on Gutfeld. This guy was saying, what we should do is walk into some of these bureaucrats' homes, walk into Governor Newsom's house, say, well, I just want to take this stuff. It's worth less than $400. I'm just going to take this stuff out today. How do you feel about that? Can't charge me with anything. Just come in every day and start taking stuff out. $400 worth of stuff. How do you like that? Well, that's different. That's a private home. No, it's a private business. They got this deal where they set up a store. And when you walk into the store, you're making this deal where I exchange my funds for what you have in your store. Because it's a private, you own all this stuff. I want to buy it. We have a deal. We come to a deal, and then I walk out with it. You don't just walk in and take it because insurance, whatever. Where do these bureaucrats get the idea that they can just give permission to people to go ahead and take those things away from those people? You can go ahead and go in there and steal that stuff. We're still going to charge them tax. We're going to tax them because they're the rich ones. You're subsidizing. This is a ridiculous, ridiculous philosophy of life. But it makes the crime rate go down. Look, crime rates have gone down. Murders have gone down because we don't call it murder now. We just call it termination. It's a misdemeanor. It's just ridiculous stuff like that. We're defining what a recession is. We're not in a recession. No, we're redefining it. That's not a recession. It's always been a recession. That's what we always called a recession. But now you're not calling it a recession. Well, it's core inflation. It's not real inflation. It's just core inflation. Core inflation is stable now. That's stable at 10%. Yeah. So they want to become a state. That's what they're pushing for. And the leftists are livid right now with Joe Biden because he said no to this crime bill because he didn't think carjacking should be a misdemeanor. They're mad at him about this. This is very interesting stuff, folks, the way it's coming down. So that's all I have for you today. I did want to talk about that whole thing with DC. And you know, as we go forward into tomorrow, the live show, I'm hoping to be able to put together some video. If I do it at the headquarters, I actually have a system there, and I hopefully will have this router hooked up to where we can actually do some serious speeds. It has better bandwidth than what I have currently up over there. So hopefully we can do some of that stuff. And what we will do is we will have all this stuff. So I hopefully have some video that I can play. I've got a system there that I need to put together. I've got something called vMix, and it works really well. I haven't used it for a very long time, but I'm hoping to have it set up so that I can actually broadcast from the facility there, and I've got it on a computer there. Hopefully that all works, and we can. I just haven't run it for a while, so I'm probably going to go over there today and kind of do some tests and set some things up so that I can actually make things happen. I have to use an RTTMP server, and it's to be able to do that kind of stuff. I have to get the right codes and keys and all that kind of stuff plugged into it to make it happen for to do the live thing on both Rumble and Podbean. Now I can do Podbean live directly. So what I might have to do is do a multicast where I do Podbean live and then also do Rumble at the same time, which is not a problem now because I think I can do Podbean live on my regular router, run that through that system, the audio, and then I would run the video through the Verizon system, which is should be fast enough to do Rumble. So that's the plan tomorrow, and I'm going to take some time today to get that all worked up. However, I've got a lot going on today. I've got an appointment today at 9, which is in 45 minutes from now, and I've got I also have to get my dog to the vet this afternoon. I've got a lot of other work that I need to do in the meantime between those two times. So it's going to be a very, very busy day, and I've got some stuff to do this evening. I might have to cancel the stuff this evening. The 6 o'clock gig might have to be canceled. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. So busy, busy, busy day for me, and then tomorrow's going to be an even busier day with the live show and then everything else that goes on. So I got some stuff tomorrow evening as well. So anyway, that's my story. I'm sticking with it. In the meantime, folks, continue to keep an eye on what's happening with Tucker and pray for Tucker. Pray for him. I'm concerned about him. I've noticed some things about the way he's talking right now. It's different than normal. He is a very tired individual. He is under a huge, huge amount of stress. I think they're going to come after him. I think they're going to try to trip him up on anything that they can do here. He's in a very, very tedious situation here. They will do anything they can right now to bring Tucker down. Anything. And I have the feeling that they're going to try to do that through this process. They're going to try to find some way to trip him up and say, you violated code whatever, such and such, for the security code, and we're going to come after you now, and you've endangered all of Congress because you're an insurrectionist. Pray for him. Pray for each other. Pray for our leaders. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow on the livecast right here, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.